What a great testimony. And I love watching miracles happen. And just you could see it on his face. He was, something happened to him spiritually through the physical healing. I love that. I've got a testimony that I also wanted to share of a lady who's here tonight, of her encounter with Jesus. It starts out like this. I could see Jesus, but it was like I was standing outside the room, wistfully looking in, watching others experience the love and joy that comes through relationship in Christ. But I was dirty. I was shamed. I had deep wounds. I couldn't believe that I could ever experience that love. I was broken. The pain was deep and chains were too strong. I was at the Deep Creek Women's Retreat in 2015 and we had to read a scripture passage and ask God what he wanted us to do with the observations that we'd made. Well, here returned the sceptical, sassy attitude. Well, God, what would you like me to do with that? And there it was. The words etched clear as a bell, straight to my heart. I am your all-loving, all-powerful, all-forgiving master. Your Lord, your God. I have a grand master plan. You are part of that plan. Be free. Trust in me. Have faith that I have your back. You will not fail. You cannot be broken or defeated. Trust in me. I am your God. At that point, on the 18th of April 2015, at approximately 11:30 a.m., my Abba Father exploded into my heart, obliterating chains. The peace and freedom that overwhelmed and transformed me is indescribable. Christ will break even the strongest chains, and he will use his people to encourage, empower, and bring freedom to those who desire him in their heart. God uses his people on earth to rescue and recover the lost. I continue to be supported, encouraged, and nurtured by a most wonderful family in Christ, my Deep Creek family. I was encouraged to abide in his love. Much has unfolded over the time to date since this transformational experience. Many challenges, many detours from my path, but I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ in my heart. And he continues to grow me, to challenge me, to encourage me. And he always loves me tenderly and beyond anything I could know that is of this earth. What a great testimony. Yeah. This is the kingdom of God breaking into people's life. These two examples. The kingdom of God breaks into our everyday world. And that's what the world needs. That's what this community, this neighbourhood around us needs. We all need it. We all want more of it. And who wouldn't want to see more of that? More of that in our neighbourhood, here at church, or in our family, or even in your own life. I love that the kingdom of God has so much to offer the lost. That homeless man, you could give him some money, but that might last him half a day. But we have something so much better to offer the lost, the kingdom of God. And these examples are just a snippet of how God works, because he works in so many different ways in our everyday life. The kingdom of God has so much to offer, an intimate relationship with our Creator. It offers forgiveness and a fresh start. It offers the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. It brings real permanent freedom from lifelong worries and hurts. It offers answers to life's questions and challenges. It also offers that community where we are part of a family together that can support and encourage one another, just like the testimony spoke about. The kingdom of God offers peace like nothing else can. It offers life, joy, and satisfaction. There is nothing beyond repair and restoration when the kingdom of God comes bowling on in into someone's life. And by its very nature, the kingdom of God has authority and victory over Satan and his schemes and the kingdom of darkness. Where the kingdom of God exists, the kingdom of darkness cannot coexist. I love that I have something to offer the lost. to those who I come in contact with who need hope, who need healing, to feel loved or know peace. I'm excited because we all get to offer this. It's not just paid ministers. It's not just men. It's not just women. It doesn't matter what stage of life you're at. We are all called as followers of Jesus to share this with the lost, to bring the kingdom of God to people. Everyone gets to join in. And we know that everyone gets to join in because Jesus has empowered his believers. He gave us the example of reflecting the Father's heart, the example of demonstrating the kingdom of God and living that out. We can see that in the Gospels. He also gave us authority to do what he did. We are God's plan to expand the kingdom of God. We are it. He needs us, doesn't need us. He wants us to be a part of that, and we need to step up to that. This is regardless of how much money you have or don't have. It's irrespective of your marital status, your age, how long you've been a Christian for. If you've been a Christian one day or a whole lifetime, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's also irrespective of your station in life, station meaning, I guess, the phase of life that you're in. I think sometimes we think our station in life means we are too busy, or we don't have enough money, or I'm not trained enough, not well enough trained, I don't go to Bible college. But it's actually the station that you're in that the Lord calls us to bring the kingdom of God. We don't need to be somewhere else to bring the kingdom of God. It's wherever we're at, whatever phase in life we're at. You might be working, not working, volunteering, studying, children, no children, married, not. It doesn't matter, because God has called us all and he's equipped us. The truth is that every believer is given the Holy Spirit to empower us. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Perhaps you're not aware of the way that the Spirit is working through you. Perhaps you're not sure about perhaps what spiritual gifts you might have or how to use them. Our next Wow Night is going to be focusing on that, so make sure you come along. It's going to be very practical. Not so much teaching like we did at the end of last year, but more discovering, praying through and asking the Lord to really awaken the spiritual gifts that he's given us. So be there. And we know that Jesus has equipped us in giving us his authority. So the kingdom of God pushes back the darkness because we carry the same authority that Jesus has. We are fully kitted out with all the weapons and tools we need, and this includes being a woman. Yay! Really, it does. The uniqueness of being a woman is part of our toolkit. It's part of what God wants us to use and celebrate in bringing the kingdom of God to the lost. And that's really what I want to focus on tonight. Women, we are integral to kingdom expansion. So integral means, by definition, necessary for completion. So we are half of the equation of bringing the kingdom of God. But what is unique about us and our role? What makes us different from man? Why did God even make a woman? I was reflecting on the creation of Adam and Eve, and on the sixth day, we're told that from verse 20 in chapter 2, that no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The Lord wanted a suitable helper for Adam in his kingdom, so he made a woman. Why didn't he just make another man? Obviously for procreation, aside from that fact. Why didn't he just make another man? twice the labour, you know, strength to dig the ground? Why didn't he just make another man? And this is the question I was pondering when I remembered back to Genesis 1, where it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him, them. So God's image and likeness is reflected in man and woman. God's face, you need both to have a face. It's like a two-piece puzzle. It's pointless, not pointless. It's not as effective if you only have one piece of the puzzle. So for us to fulfill our commission to reflect the Father, which is what we're doing when we bring the kingdom of God to others, to fulfill that commission to be, to reflect his image and likeness, you need man and woman. I think this is a really crucial part to just let your heart sink on, because it really speaks to the value that God places in a woman. He needs both of us. Both of us. He needs man and woman. It's inherent in his plan to bring the kingdom of God. So men and women are divinely designed differently so that we can complement each other and make a complete reflection of the Lord. And as I was pondering the uniqueness of women, thinking, what are the differences? I can see how I'm a bit different to Sam, but you know, is that just me and us and our differences? So I went to trusty old Google. Differences between man and woman. Evidently, science has shown that our brains, anatomically, and the way they function are different. God actually designed our brains to work differently. And as I was reading through some of the differences, I actually found it really helpful. So I just wanted to make a couple of points. Now, science shows the general trend. I know that there are individual differences because of our genetic makeup and our environment, however we grew up and what our influences were. But as a general trend, men tend to be predominantly left-brained, so they use the left side of their brain. And the left side of the brain is credited to rational and logical thinking. You probably know where I'm going because that picture's up already. So they tend to want to systematize everything. They analyze it, work out the rules. How does this system work? How does it behave? They want to construct a system and reinvent a system. They want to understand it so they can predict it. Men are also stronger in spatial abilities. So their perception, their hand-eye coordination, their visuospatial skills, their geographic memory and thinking skills are really strong because they've got stronger connections from the front to the back of their brain. So they tend to have a good sense of direction and reading maps. It's true. It's been proven. They do. They are good at it, generally. They are able to perform higher maths problems, and when they're faced with some danger or high stress scenarios, they tend to respond in what we typically know as the fight or flight scenario. So you stay, I'm going to fight this face on, or nah, I'm out of here. In contrast to all this, women tend to use both sides of their brain equally. We have a strong connection from one side to the other. And the right side of the brain is credited with emotion, intuition, and creativity. So a woman tends to have stronger empathizing skills. We want to work out how someone's feeling, what are their thoughts, how am I going to respond in an appropriate emotion back to them. And we're intuitive generally to our own feelings, and we tend to understand and predict the behavior or emotions of others, which can help in more effective communication. Women tend to score highly or do well in language-based tasks, and that's because of the connection between the right and the left brain. And there's also been shown a greater activity in a part of the brain called the hippocampus, which is related to your memory. So women do tend to be better at recalling information. when faced with danger or a highly stressful situation, there's a term that they've coined, we tend to tend and befriend rather than fight or flight. So we nurture, we work out who needs to be taken care of, and we seek each other out. We find groups, we stick together, we support each other. And I think the testimony that I shared tonight too really spoke to that idea that the supporting each other and nurturing each other is really a unique and great part of being a woman's and our tendencies. So I've got a couple of pictures. If you're a visual person, perhaps pictures might help as well, just concrete some of the differences. This first one is telling a story. So women have an introduction and lots of things to say, with a few perhaps different ways of saying it, perhaps a few embellishments, and you do get to the end at some point, whereas a man might tell a story, introduction, essence, conclusion, done. Nothing else needs to be said. If you think about the way, if this is a general tendency in the way we communicate, imagine if men only were ministering in terms of praying with someone, talking to them about where they're at in life's journey, talking about the kingdom of God. Everybody hears differently, so there would be a portion of the population that just wouldn't quite hear it the way they needed to hear it, because it was only a man doing all of that ministering. But women, this is an example of how we need to play into our strengths and what the Lord has actually created us, how the Lord has created us to function, because we can reach people in a different way through the way we communicate. The second picture I really like, even though I don't like the movie. This is a good reflection on how we perceive the same event. So women might look at the emotions, the love story, oh, how they're feeling, oh, she's free. And the men are going, whoa, how did that break? Now, honestly, it's such a big boat. Where was the weakness in that boat? I wonder how long that's going to take to sink. It's really quite a different way of thinking. And I think that really speaks to, I guess the encouragement is, don't downplay the way you might perceive a situation, because you bring something different to that perception of an event or a person that a man might look at differently. And this is by no means to downplay the way men are. It's just helpful to see how we might behave differently. And the third picture, packing for a holiday. I will read it in case you can't see it. At the top, the woman is says to herself, I must not forget personal hygiene products. I've worried that I've forgotten something. Lying in bed, starting to pack, thinking about starting to pack a suitcase a month before leaving. Making dozens of lists for children and herself. Prepare everything. Make a plan of children's activities, put everything together. And the man, 5 minutes before departure, says, that's me done, suitcase packed. This is very true of our household, I have to say. I write lists, cross them off as I'm packing. I don't cross it off unless it's packed. I think about what toys should I pack so the girls will be interested, so that I might still be able to have a conversation and they can play on their own. What clothes will I need? Oh, what if it's cold? What if it's hot? Whereas the men just don't think that way, and that's okay. Sam puts it in the car. That's not my job. He knows how to fit it all in because he has good visuospatial skills. So, and if you think about this example and running programs within a church, women bring perhaps some comprehensiveness, some things to think about that men might not think about. There's just so many applications, I guess, to think about how women and men contribute. And don't downplay what we have to contribute. So just briefly recapping, we can be excited about the kingdom of God because it has so much to offer, and we, his followers, are equipped to offer that to those around us. And as women, that is one of the greatest tools that we have, because the Lord has designed us with unique qualities. And I'm sure there are heaps more qualities than what I've touched on just now, but that just gives you a picture. And I think what is critical is just to remember that two-piece puzzle. God designed the two pieces to each play their role in bringing the kingdom of God to the lost, for us to accurately, truly, as completely reflect the image of the Lord as we can. So just in summary, I wanted to quote a quote from a Christian woman's blog about the uniqueness of women that I think was really summarised it really well. So we'll share that. Woman, the amazing truth is that God has created you in his image as unique, strong and beautiful. Sin damaged you, but God has and continues to repair the damage in Christ Jesus. Indeed, he has set you free from the clutches and bondages of sin, for who the Son sets free is free indeed. Woman, no one can improve on what God has created. You are already unique. Don't sit around waiting for someone to help you, to show you or empower you. Your Father has already provided help. You have the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and access to the Father, and the authority of Jesus. Seek God, get to know him. Let him redefine, transform, and strengthen you. And as he's doing that, rise up and be used by him to fulfill his plans and purposes. There are prayers waiting to be prayed by you. There are people waiting to hear of Christ from you. There are people waiting to be discipled and raised up in Christ by you. There are people waiting to be empowered by you. There are homes, families, communities, towns, cities, and nations waiting to be changed by you through Jesus Christ. Yes, woman uniquely created, Jesus Christ needs you to arise.